everybody, it's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and this morning I've got with me Lizzie from Salcare. Hi Lizzie.
Hi Emily, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. So we're going to talk this morning about barriers to leaving a domestically abusive relationship. So what would you say is the biggest barrier to leaving?
I think for me, the biggest barrier for victims to leaving is financial and fear of losing the children, fear of shame by the family, you know, because a lot of victims in situations will choose to stay because perpetrator have told them, you know, if you go, you're not taking the children with you, you go, you know, I'll tell people that you've got mental health, you know, you've got a mental health problem, you can't care for the children. So a lot of them barriers, they'll feel really isolated in even telling somebody close to them. So yeah, I mean, for me though, one of the main barriers I think for victims is their awareness of what's out there to help them. I mean, I used to do some training with social workers around barriers to leave and barriers to stay. And we do a list on reasons to leave and reasons to go. And the reasons to stay were always longer than the reasons to leave. And in some cultures, leaving that family, they're not just leaving him, they're leaving their community. So, you know, they will stay in that relationship sometimes till there's an intervention where we know victims don't phone the police, it's either neighbours, it's either friends. And then when a service gets involved, which will be social care, you know, they're then told, if you don't leave or keep him away from the property with a written agreement, we're going to take your children.
Yeah.
So why would a victim rock up to the police and say, I'm in this abusive relationship, whether it's coercive and controlling or physical? Because, you know, we've had victims who, yeah, have left the relationship and they've put restraining orders in place, but then the victim is asked to police that restraining order.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of victims will say to me, I'm really, really sorry that I told. I could have probably managed that, because they feel a sense of blame that it's their fault they've been in that relationship. So if I can stay in here and not tell anybody, and as well, they find it really hard to prove coercion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's easy when you've got a black eye, but, you know, when it's mental things, how do you explain that?
Some of the victims that have been referred to me through social care or through a doctor or through education, they'll come in because they've been asked to come in. It's not choice.
Yeah.
And they don't even know they're in that relationship. You know, they just see it as, well, my dad used to do kids go to school, I feed them. Yeah, I get a black eye, you know, and times me that I can't go out. So sometimes as well for us as agencies, it's about for them to recognise through support, this is not a healthy relationship. But again, one of the big barriers for me, in my experience, is consequences.
Yeah.
They've got consequences. And the big one as well is they love that person.
Yeah.
They absolutely love that person. They might not have had a family unit as children, so they wanted this unit for their children. So
yeah.
I'm not going to tell anybody because, and as well, even though they're in an abusive relationship, they feel pretty safe. They're safe.
Yeah.
And they know what's going to happen because we've got planned violence. We know on a Friday night, he goes out and has a drink. I know the kids are going to be in bed. I'm going to get a beating. I can manage that. Kids are in bed. So there's lots of barriers. And we know, working with victims of domestic violence, we know, you know, it can take up to 50, 60 times of trying to break free. And it is. I mean, it's sad, really, because a lot of services think, oh, we've got this protection plan now. She's going to do the freedom program. We've got a written agreement in. He doesn't come to the house. That's okay now.
Yeah, it's all going to be lovely.
Yeah. I mean, and lots of victims will say to me, I actually feel really lonely and lost. It's like a bereavement, it's a loss. I know it was a really not a nice relationship, but it's still a loss, where a lot of services will think, oh, you've got rid of them now, hunky-dory. And actually, that's where they're more at risk when they leave, and their policeman will say, change your number. Well, she needs to change your number if he keeps contacting her. But in actual fact, that's a sense of security for them. If they've got the same number, they know where their perpetrators are. If they block them off, you know, lots of them have said to me, not answering him, but I know where he is and what he's doing, sort of thing. And, you know, eventually they do change the number. But it's not good to put pressure on them, because that's the sense of, I know where he is. You know, they might be at their mum's house. Not all of them go to refuge. So they might be at their mum's house, the friend's house. So if they block him, he might rock up there. I mean, for me, it's massive consequences. And you as well, Emily, like everybody who will work with domestic violence, people will say, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just phone the police and just leave?
It's not as easy as that, is it?
No, it's not. Not at all, you're right. But
it's not.
We carry on trying to raise awareness. And when we do get them, you know, we work with victims who are still with perpetrators on a planned departure. And it's done in their time, that they're not just told, pick up and just run. It's done. We're getting housing in place. We're getting schools in place. And we're getting benefits in place before they actually take that step out the door. And it's worked really well, planned departures within self-care. We help quite a lot of people. And they're more in control. They're in more control of the situation. I mean, obviously, we have to do a risk assessment around safety. But they feel a lot more in control to move into that house, move away from that area, because it's been their choice to do that. They've not been told, you have to do that now. I mean, some of them do because of risk. We know that.
Yeah. But
hopefully, we can make a difference with the planned departure.
And this is a big question. But you know how historically and at the moment, what we do is move the victim. Do you think it would ever work if we were to move the perpetrator? They're still always going to know where the victim is, aren't they? Yeah. But at least the victim has got all their support. The kids aren't being moved to schools. They've got friends and family around them. Do you think we're ever going to see that change?
I mean, there was something that happened a few years ago around that they would get the perpetrators to leave and they'd put the security in. But I think as well, it depends on that individual victim. If she wants to stay in that house where she might have been stabbed, she might have been. And I think it's an individual basis. Big problem at the moment we're having is joint tenancies.
Yeah.
And we're working quite closely with Futures. They've got a new domestic violence coordinators. And we're working. I've actually got two victims at the moment on planned departures who they're both on tenancies. So we're trying to move them because we don't want him to know that she wants to go. But he's got every right because he's got a tenancy.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we had a couple of members of staff from Futures come on our training just last month. So, yes.
And Leanne.
It was.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I work quite closely with them guys. But yeah, and I think that's been a bit of a gap in the market, the housing bit.
Yeah.
And for me, as soon as they came on board, we came and had a meeting, and I identified straight away that I had a couple of victims that could be moved within that agency rather than going through homeless if it's the future house. So that's been a really, really fantastic service for self-care.
I'll try and get Manjit and Leanne in to come and talk to us about that.
And it's a new role because housing officers and neighbourhood watchers, you know, they've got the champions of domestic violence. But I think the sort of route there, which they're going to be, is looking at the tenancies, looking where we can put these victims safely, but keep them within Futures.
Yeah.
You know, link in with us and give them that support. So that's been fabulous. I mean, I've got a meeting next week with one of the victims and Manjit and myself to introduce them. Because sometimes they meet housing officers and they come out and they just say, oh yeah, everything's all right, spot check. Where if they're being supported through domestic violence, it's nice that Future knows we've got a vulnerable person in here.
Yeah. So at self-care, you had a celebration event last week, didn't you? Did that all go okay?
It did. It went fantastic. We had a fundraising ball at Makeley Hall. We had an auction. Yeah, we had awards. First ball that Selco's ever done. It was medium sized. So I think next year, a bit more planning, it's going to be bigger and better. But yeah, it was fantastic. Everybody enjoyed it. We invited Futures CA. They got an award. Jessie comes in every Tuesday. She got an award. And the person who started Selcare, Tom Richardson, he was the local vicar.
He started.
He got, somebody asked him, did he know anybody who wanted a bed? So he started that. I mean, 77, I think he started it.
Wow.
But, yeah. So he was in Fletcher Street first, and then they moved here. But his daughter was still in contact with his daughter, Sarah, and she was supposed to come to the ball, but her and her partner were unwell. So we've still got that link with founder of Selcare, and we've actually had an award, a Tom Richardson award, that we just to an outstanding member of Selcare. But we've also got Adina Osborne.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because Dina was here for a good few years. We've got a Dina Osborne Award as well. So them sort of awards will stay year in and year out. But yeah, it's going to be hopefully bigger and better next year.
Well, I saw some photos on your Facebook page. So if anybody's listening, go and check out the Selcare Facebook page to see some photos and get ready for a big party next year then.
Definitely.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for your expert insight there into barriers to leaving a relationship. I really hope we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for coming along. So okay, we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.